tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmarayudya cha mayarpitamano budhir mam evaishyasya samshayah. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without doubt. It is by the causeless and most profound mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath that I am being given this very blessed fortune of being with all of you again after a long time of feeling separation from your association. I'm so overjoyed to see Krishna's mystic powers that however big we make the temple, it is always full. In Ishopanishad it is said, Om Purnam Adha Purnamidam, that Krishna is perfect and complete, and all of his manifestations are also perfect and complete. So whatever arrangements we make to give the devotees spacious, comfortable arrangements, it is always perfectly complete. It is really Sri Radha Gopinath's great love for all of you that they are making more and more wonderful arrangements to encourage us in remaining together in Krishna consciousness. This is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan means the complete movement where we remain together glorifying Krishna by chanting his holy names. And Krishna can make any arrangement because Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. What do we have to fear in this world when we know we are the servants of Krishna? The only fear there is that by the power of Maya we may somehow or other forget Krishna and begin to serve our own egoistic desires. That is the great fear. Because Maya, through false ego, is always trying to delude us into serving the false master of our own ego. And what is the result of such service? The repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. This world is Madhurya Loka. Krishna has created this world and he has specifically labeled it Madhurya Loka. That means a place of death, a place where miseries will come, no matter what arrangement you make. Now, we are thinking we will make this world into a happy place. But is it possible? Hiranyakashipu, he was so powerful, and he also tried to make this world just a fitting place for his material enjoyment. But ultimately, as we all know this story, it was Madhurya Loka for Hiranyakashipu. In the form of time, Krishna is overpowering all of our efforts for material enjoyment. Thus, we should understand that Krishna has given us the opportunity to enter into the spiritual world, even while living in this world. And that is possible by adopting the consciousness Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas, that we are the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, who has many names and has appeared in many forms through various religions throughout the history of this world. But it is that Supreme Lord Krishna who is the ultimate object of everyone's affection. So when we remember Krishna, when we engage in the service of Krishna wholeheartedly, then we can achieve the bliss of the spiritual world, even in this world. This particular chapter of Bhagavad Gita is describing how to die. People are very eager to learn how to live. But we should live in such a way that we are also very much conscious that ultimately death will come. Life is very short. It may be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, at the most 100 years. And we do not know. There is so much pollution, so many diseases, people aiming nuclear bombs at each other. How do we know? Therefore, we should live in such a way to find spiritual happiness, and we should prepare ourselves in such a way that when we die, we will achieve eternal spiritual happiness. This is called intelligence. There is two types of intelligence, Shreyas and Prayas. One is the intelligence of trying to make arrangements for the here and now. The animals are also doing that. Another is making arrangements for the future, beyond even the duration of this mortal frame. Krishna is teaching us in this chapter of Gita. For one who remembers me at the time of death, he will achieve me without fail. Therefore, in this life, what should we do? We should practice, we should study for that final exam by always remembering Krishna. And actually, what is the difference between living in this world and living in the spiritual world? For one who is always remembering Krishna, there is very little difference. Sometimes devotees are accused, why you think so little of this material world? Actually, the devotees who follow the Gita have the most optimistic, realistic outlook at material life. Optimism is born of pessimism in this regard. Unless you understand the danger of diseases, you will not be able to remain healthy. Unless we understand what it is that it is an impediment to our to our welfare, we will not understand how to live according to our real welfare. So devotees are not blind to the reality of the world around them. They see the pessimistic situation around them, but also the optimistic opportunity. We see in this temple today, I don't know how many people, it appears like thousands and thousands of people. Perhaps hundreds and hundreds. But everyone is dancing and singing, although it is very hot and there is not much air, and it's rainy, and so many reasons to complain. Still, the devotees are quite blissful and satisfied. Why? Because they have understood how to overcome the negative with the positive. Material life means trying to overcome the negative by negating the negative. And what do you get? Something equally negative. How long will we go on negating the negative and think we're going to be happy? We must understand what that negative force is and the symptoms that are upon us. But then, by the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Gita, we learn how to take shelter of the positive. This world can be transformed into the spiritual world if our consciousness is immersed in the loving mood of service to Krishna. Any other arrangement is simply trying to change the changeless nature of material nature. The manifestations we can change, but the energy that is controlling us remains the same. The energy of material world is Martya Loka. You can die wearing a nice silk sari, or you can die wearing a kopan. There may be a big difference in some people's minds, but ultimately the pain of death remains the same. But Krishna gives us the chance to experience, even in this world, eternal reality, eternal life, to see Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. And this comes through remembering Krishna. And how easy it is to remember Krishna. The prime benediction for all humanity is to remember Krishna by chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. In this regard, there is a narration in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Maitreya Rishi is describing to Vidura the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj achieved perfect enlightenment at the age of 5 years old by fixing his mind on Krishna. After achieving enlightenment in the forest, Lord Vishnu personally appeared before him and offered him any benediction. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest due to the insult of his father and stepmother, longing for the benediction that he will achieve a kingdom greater than his father. Dhruva Maharaj was insulted. For a Kshatriya, insult is worse than death. How he was suffering. Can you imagine how much that little boy was suffering? Sometimes our children, they suffer. But did they suffer so much that they cannot bear life? And he greets them all
And each cow is thinking, he's looking only at me. His beautiful transcendental glance upon each of them. And then he brings them back to Nandagaon, and Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj and Rohini Devi and Sri Radharani, Lalita Vishaka, the gopis, they and all the older gopis also, they're all waiting in the borderline of Nandagaon near the pastures to greet Krishna. And he comes running. You have seen the beautiful painting that our godbrother Muralidhar Prabhu has so wonderfully offered to Srila Prabhupada. It is now situated at Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Mataji's house. If you haven't seen, you should go there sometime to see. Krishna is running to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and they're running to him to greet him. And all gopis have their arti paraphernalia and their ladus and garlands and all nice offerings and gifts to give pleasure to Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda, she sees that Krishna's body is covered by dust that is raised by the hooves of the cows throughout the day. So she gives him a nice bath, and then she dresses him in fresh new clothes and puts ornaments on him, and then she gives him nice prasad that she has been working so hard throughout the day to prepare. Sometimes she calls Radharani from Bhatarsana to come to also cook prasad, because the news got out very quickly that Durvas Muni gave. She took so nice care of Durvas Muni when he was a guest in Brishabhanu Maharaj's home, that he gave her that blessing that whatever you cook will taste sweeter than nectar, and anyone who eats your cooking will never fall sick. So everyone in Vrindavan was thinking, then let her cook for Krishna, because Krishna was more dear to the life of anyone. So then Krishna would have nice prasad, and then all the cowherd boys would tell the rest of the Brijabasis all the wonderful activities of that day. What demons Krishna killed. Today he killed Agasura. No, actually, they didn't tell him. They told him that 1 year later. Today he killed Vakasura. Today he killed Vatsasura. So many wonderful stories they would tell, and everyone would be rapt attention. And they would simply, then Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they would take Krishna and Balaram and put him in bed and give him sing nice songs, and then they would all go to sleep. And then in the middle of the night, just at the proper time, Krishna would very quietly leave the house. Sometimes he would go to Bamsibat. Sometimes he would go to Govardhan. Sometimes he would go to various places. And he would play his flute and call gopis, and they would meet him, and they would dance throughout the night. But then before it became light, he would go home, and everyone was thinking he slept very soundly. In fact, there is the Astakalya Leela, which explains to the minute where Krishna is and what he does every day. What time of the day every day he goes to Radha Kund and Shama Kund to meet Srimati Radharani. What time in Vrindavan there are places. I remember I was living in one ashram, and according to Astakalya Leela, at 3 o'clock every afternoon, Krishna passes by that ashram, according to the Shastra. He passes by with his cowherd boyfriends and cows. And if you go to another place, at 8 in the morning, he passes by this place. And other places, at midnight, he comes with gopis.
So how can there be all these time schedules if time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world? There is time. But it is nothing like the time in this world. There is no creation, there is no destruction. Time is simply acting within the internal potency of the Lord, like everything in the spiritual world, by Yogamaya's potency, simply to increase the ecstasy of loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Everything exists only for that purpose. Everything in the spiritual world exists only to increase the ecstasy of the Lord and his devotees. And it is described by Srila Prabhupada in these purports how even the living entities have such eternal ecstatic relationships with each other that can never, ever, ever be separated. In this world, we become attached to family members. And when they leave home or they die, we feel sad. Why? Because in the spiritual world, everyone is our family members. And we have intimate, loving, eternal relationships with everyone. It is our nature not only to have such a relationship with Krishna, but with every other living entity who we are, by our particular arrangement of the Lord, who we are in contact with in the spiritual world. Our family in the spiritual world is eternal. Only to give back something better. People were happy to give taxes. When it came the time to give taxes, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Let us give as much as we can to Dhruva Maharaj, because we know what he'll do with it. We'll get so much multiplied benefits. That is very rare these days, that people have this type of faith. Anywhere in this entire planet. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was such a compassionate, loving, welfare worker for everyone. And he ruled the kingdom in this way. It is explained that his brother Uttam was killed unfairly by a race of yakshas. So it is part of the duty of the king to uphold justice. Krishna's reason for coming to this world is described in Gita. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To annihilate the miscreants, to protect the innocent, and to reestablish the principles of religion. So the king is the representative of Krishna. Wherever there is injustice, wherever the innocent people are being exploited, the king is swift to bring about real justice. So Dhruva Maharaj had a wonderful, wonderful battle with the Yaksha dynasty. They employed so many mystic tricks to try to defeat him. But Dhruva Maharaj, although he didn't claim to be a great mystic, even in the face of the greatest opposition, Dhruva Maharaj simply remembered Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, he was given all power to defeat them. In fact, he defeated them so bad, he was about to make the entire dynasty extinct. At that time, Kuvera came. Kuvera is worshipped by the Yakshas. First Brahma came and explained, and his representatives, Swayambhuva Manu, Brahma, do not kill these people. You have already given the proper atonement for them. So Dhruva Maharaj immediately accepted the higher authority. Then when Kuvera came down, Kuvera is the treasurer of the heavenly planets. Within the abode of Swargaloka. Swargaloka is a whole system of planets where there is great, great heavenly enjoyments. And he is in charge of the treasury. What is it that Kuvera could give you? If Kuvera gave you any benediction, can you imagine what type of a luxurious, opulent life you could achieve? But Dhruva Maharaj taught us what is a real benediction. He did not ask Kuvera for any of the things of this world, but rather, give me the benediction that I will always remember Krishna. In every situation of life, let me always remember Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada describes, we remember Krishna by being the servant of the servant of his servants and chanting his holy names. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that this congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names is the greatest benediction for all humanity, because it is the easy way of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. And we can chant the holy names in any situation in life and be successful. The success of our life is not our material failures or successes. The success of our life is, are we truly in the mood of a servant, and are we truly from our heart remembering Krishna in that mood? We are success. Even if we fail drastically in any of our efforts, if we have done it with honesty and sincere desire to serve and please the Lord, and we have remembered Krishna in that situation, then we are a success. Let the world say what they want to say. It doesn't matter. The temporary changes of this world are always coming about. One day you are praised and one day you are blamed. One day you are honored, another day you are dishonored. One day you may gain everything, another day you may lose everything. It is the nature of this place. Why should we be so concerned with it? Our concern is, whatever may happen, am I remembering Krishna? Am I in the spirit of an honest, earnest servant of Krishna in my efforts? This is the teaching of Gita. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, win this war for the sake of conquering your enemies. Krishna told Arjuna, you try to fight this war because it is your duty, but do it in a spirit of service to me. And remember me, that is your success. Whether you win or lose is irrelevant. What is of relevance? That you try to win is a mood of service, and remember me always. Do not be attached to the results of your actions, but do be attached to the purpose and the spirit of why you are performing your actions. That is to please Krishna. Samsadir Hari Poshanam. The ultimate perfection of all of our occupational duties is to please Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj, he accepted this benediction from Kuvera to always remember Krishna and never forget him. In the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. There is no other way of actually remembering Krishna except in the mood of being the servant of the servant of his servants. Because unless Krishna is pleased with us, we do not even have the power to remember him. Sarvasya chaham rinishani vishtau mathasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. You cannot forget Krishna unless he gives you the power to forget him. You cannot remember Krishna unless he gives you the power to remember him. Simply, we have to please Him. If we displease Him, He will force us to forget Him at the most important times of our life. And if we please Him, He will very, very generously reveal Himself within our consciousness, now and forevermore. And how do we please Krishna? Not by being great, but by being humble. Krishna is great. He doesn't need greatness. But He is pleased with our humility, our spirit, that I am the servant of the servant of your servants. I am the servant of all living entities. Can you imagine a world where everyone is like this? That is the spiritual world. That is the real difference between material existence and spiritual existence. Material existence is full of so many sufferings because everyone wants to be Prabhu or master. Everyone wants to be glorified. Everyone wants to be seen as great. We want to enjoy subtle and gross forms of material enjoyment. In the spiritual world, everyone is trying to push everyone else forward to please Krishna. The spiritual world, there is no misery because of this consciousness. The material world is full of misery because of the consciousness of exploitation and greed. So, Dhruva Maharaj accepted this great benediction from Kuvera. And sometime later, he retired from his governmental service. He did it in a responsible way. He placed his son as king, trained him very well to do the duties, and he went to Bhadrikashram, that great place in the Himalayas where the Lord Himself descends many times, where so many great souls went to perform tapasya. Dhruva Maharaj in Bhadrikashram achieved such a perfect state of consciousness by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Some people say that, why do you worship the deity? If God is everywhere, why do you go to the temple to worship Him? I see God everywhere. I worship God in everywhere I go, whatever I do. So why do you have to go to the temple? Have any of you heard this logic before? People say like this, but what a useless facade. Are they seeing God everywhere? Anyone can say, I'm seeing God everywhere. But actually we are seeing God nowhere. We do not even know how to see God. Do not try to see God, but try to serve God in such a way that He is pleased to see you. But the greatest acharyas, the most highly liberated souls within the history of the Vedic tradition, they all worship the deity of the Lord with great, great attention. The deity in the temple is none different than the Supreme Absolute Truth. When we come before Sri Radha Gopinath, we should understand this principle. We are coming in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explained that the forest is sattva-guna, it is the mode of goodness. The cities are rajaguna, the mode of passion. The brothels, the place where intoxication and meat are being distributed, those places are in the mode of ignorance, tamaguna. However, that place where devotees sincerely come together to worship the deity form of the Lord by hearing and chanting His glories, that is Vaikuntha.
Irishuddha Sattva, the spiritual world.
And the great acharyas, they present nice temples just to attract people to come and experience what is the spiritual world. When we come on Sundays or when we come any day or every day of the week, we should understand what a good fortune it is to come out of material atmosphere and enter into the spiritual world. Some of you are very hot and falling asleep as I'm speaking just now. You may be thinking, what kind of spiritual world is this? Is the spiritual world so crowded with such little ventilation? And in the spiritual world, do we have to listen to these long, boring speeches? But actually, you are in the spiritual world. And to the degree you just tune your consciousness to the beautiful form of the deities and the sound vibration of His holy name and glories, to that degree you will realize that this is Vaikuntha. I am here, but am I conscious of the reality around me? Therefore, by coming regularly, we gradually become conscious of the reality around us through purification. Krishna reveals Himself as we approach Him. So we are so fortunate by Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas' unlimited mercy. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath has appeared in Chopati, Bombay, of all places. The Lord of Vrindavan with His eternal consort, Sri Radharani, have appeared in this place personally and directly just to attract our hearts and accept our love. By Srila Prabhupada's compassionate desire to give us the greatest benediction of Krishna consciousness, Krishna has descended to give us that benediction. Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the deity, performed tapasya, and kept his mind fixed on Krishna through hearing and chanting His names and glories. When he achieved the perfection of liberation, it was that time that he was destined to leave this world. He saw coming from the higher realms a magnificent airplane, not like the airplane that I came in this morning. Everyone's just eager to get out. It's like a little prison in the sky. It's like a prison. You can't get out until they open the door and say, out. Once you get in, they close the door. There's nowhere you can go. So many inmates around with you. And there's nothing you can do to get out. And when you land, then they open the door. And you have to pay so much money to do that. Whether you're an economy class, business class, first class, whether you're the pilot or the airline hostesses, everyone is just waiting, just let us get out of this place. But the plane that came for Dhruva was a beautiful celestial plane that did not have motors. It ran by the power of God's mercy. And on this Vaikuntha airship, there was two beautiful personalities with the same bodily features as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. When Dhruva Maharaj saw these exalted souls, he recognized that they looked very similar to the Lord that he saw when he was only 5 years old in the forest of Madhuban in Vrindavan. Dhruva Maharaj was so overwhelmed with emotion that he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do. It was a surprise for him. So with folded palms, he offered his obeisances and he chanted the holy names of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas, citing from the scriptures, describe how in every situation of life, the most appropriate thing to do is chant the holy names of the Lord. There may be so many rituals, there may be so many different types of mantras for different occasions, various forms of etiquette. However, they are all served purpose perfectly when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In this age of Kali Yuga, we understand being a pure Brahmin is very difficult. Most Brahmins don't know the slightest thing of what a Brahmin is supposed to do. In fact, most Brahmins are so proud that they're born as Brahmins that they never even consider what a Brahmin is supposed to do. Anything they do, they consider as good because they are Brahmins. But actually, to be a Brahmin is very difficult. In cultural context of ritualistic obligations. For every samskara, there are certain rituals, certain mantras that are supposed to be chanted. However, the Shastra declares that all of our obligations, all rituals, all samskaras are perfectly executed if we simply chant the holy names of Krishna. Therefore, it is described by Lord Kapila Dev that even if you are born in an untouchable family of dog eaters, if you are chanting the holy names of Krishna, you are better than the Brahmins. You have the right to perform all brahminical activities. How? By just chanting Hare Krishna Maharaj. So if you are ever confused of what is to be done and what is not to be done, this is the easy formula. You just chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we must perform our duties. But if we chant Hare Krishna, that is our ultimate duty, to remember Krishna. The ultimate duty of every human being is to remember Krishna. So Dhruva Maharaj chanted the holy names and bowed down to these great souls. And they addressed him. Their names were Nanda and Sunanda, two intimate servants of Lord Narayan. And they explained, because of your great devotion for your whole life, we have come to bring you to the spiritual world. From the very age of 5 years old, you pleased Krishna so much that he appeared before you. And throughout the rest of your life, you pleased Krishna so much by performing your duties in devotion. Therefore, we have come on the order of Lord Narayan to bring you back home, back to Godhead. As Dhruva Maharaj went to step onto the airplane, death personified appeared before him. How many of you have fear of death personified? Hare Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw death before him, he used death as the last step to board the airplane. He placed his foot on the head of death, and from that platform, he stepped onto the airplane to bring him to Vaikuntha. And from that platform, he stepped onto the airplane to bring him to Vaikuntha. For one who surrenders to Krishna with the spirit of true devotion, always considering himself the servant, always concerned with the welfare of all living beings, to such a person, death serves as a stepping stone to eternal life. To those who are selfish in their egoistic pursuit of life, death is the end of everything. But for a generous-hearted, kind devotee who lives his life for the service of God and the service of others, for him death is the last step to bring us to the platform of the spiritual world, eternal life. Dhruva Maharaj stepped upon the head of death fearlessly, entered onto the Vaikuntha airship. But then Dhruva Maharaj, actually, it is described in Bhagavad, before that, Dhruva Maharaj, when he was invited to go to the spiritual world, first he performed all of his regulated duties in devotional service. He performed all of the activities that he would do every day to please the Lord. Some people, Srila Prabhupada explains, are under the illusion that the regulative principles of devotional service are only for neophyte devotees. But the great saintly persons, they follow these regulative principles at all times because they understand they're for the pleasure of the Lord. Our regulative principles are to chant the holy names a prescribed amount of times every day. For many of us, it is 16 rounds every day. To take our bath in the morning, to decorate our body in 12 places with tilak, to chant Hare Krishna, to serve the deities. These are our daily activities. Dhruva Maharaj, when the Vaikuntha airship was waiting for him, he performed all his regulated duties before getting on, just to show how important they are at every stage of our life. It is described Dhruva was living in Badrigashram, a very austere place. And he wanted to decorate himself beautifully before going to Vaikuntha. In Badrigashram, he did not have jewels, necklaces, or other types of beautiful ornaments. Therefore, he decorated his body with tilak in 12 places. This is real opulence. Some people decorate themselves with diamonds, rubies, emeralds, gold, silver, and silk. And they think, I am very beautiful. That may be beautiful from a particular point of view. However, to decorate your body with the most precious ornaments, you do not even need one paisa. All you need is a little gopi chandan. by putting this clay, marking your body as a temple of God, that is the most auspicious and beautiful decoration you can put on your body, because it pleases Krishna. And it helps everyone remember Krishna. If you have a priceless diamond in your hair, will that make people remember Krishna? It will just attract people to think, I want that diamond for myself. The more you decorate yourself, the more people will be envious of you. If you have beautiful gowns and beautiful jewelry, some people will say, oh, you are so beautiful today. And in their hearts, they're thinking, why are you more beautiful than me? This is not bona fide. But is anyone envious of you when you wear tilak? Everyone can wear tilak. And by seeing the tilak, you immediately remember Krishna. Everyone will remember Krishna, because it is the mark of Krishna. Therefore, it is the most auspicious of all ornamentations for the body. So Dhruva Maharaj decorated himself with tilak. And he did his regulative principles. Then he stepped on the head of death and entered into the airplane. And when that airplane was about to depart for Vaikuntha, Dhruva Maharaj felt bad in his heart. How is it a person who is seeing the devotees of God and about to go to the spiritual world could feel bad? According to the Gita, na sochati na kangshati brahma bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kangshati. That one who experiences the spiritual bliss of Brahman realization does not hanker for anything or lament for anything of this world. However, the nature of a bhakta or a bhaktin is that they are always feeling a spirit of compassion to others. And that is even more pleasing to Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj felt bad. He was thinking, how can I go back to the spiritual world and leave my beloved, helpless mother here in this world? He was thinking that he wanted his mother to go back to Godhead also, because his mother was the first person to instruct him to take to spiritual life. She was his Patha Pradarshaka Guru, the guru who shows you the path of devotion. His mother was an innocent housewife, a very chaste and faithful queen to her husband. Even at times he was unfair to her and even neglected her. Still, she observed her religious principles by faithfully serving her husband and faithfully serving Krishna. And when her son was in great difficulty, out of her real love for her child, she told him that the solution to your problem is to become Krishna conscious. Only the worship of God will help you. This is a real mother. This is the duty of a mother and a father. And what is the result? This we are about to see. On his mother's beloved instructions, he went to the forest. There he met Sri Narada Muni by the mercy of Krishna. His mother was his Shiksha Guru, and Narada Muni became his Diksha Guru, who initiated him into the sacred mantra. Now, there was no need for Dhruva Maharaj to be in anxiety that how can I go back to Vaikuntha without Narada Muni? Because Narada Muni is already in Vaikuntha. Narada Muni bhajai vina radhika ramana name. Narada Muni is from Vaikuntha to all the various planets of the material world. He is simply playing his vina, inducing everyone to chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. However, there would have been no chance of Dhruva meeting Narada Muni's mercy without the instruction of his beloved mother. So out of his natural, grateful, compassionate heart, he was thinking of her. This is a quality of a Vaishnava. They never forget anyone who ever has helped them on the spiritual path. Vaishnavas are grateful. It is not that someone helps you. Even if that person makes great mistakes, we never kick them out of our hearts. We should always remember. Always remember whoever has helped us to serve the Supreme Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj was thinking like this. How can I go back to Godhead without my mother, who taught me about Krishna when I was only 5? At that time, Sunanda and Nanda understood Dhruva's heart and showed him that on another airplane, his mother was already being transported to the spiritual world. What does this mean? If a devotee sincerely purifies his or her heart to develop love of Krishna, that devotee's feelings of obligation to other living beings will certainly be understood and fulfilled by Krishna. Actually, according to the Vedic system, if we have a child that becomes a great devotee, that child will bring us back to the spiritual world. But these days, parents are afraid when their children become great devotees. Because they're thinking, they may not make as much money for me in this world. This is called avidya, or in plain language, ignorance. If we become pure devotee, we will naturally have affectionate remembrances of those who are near and dear to us and those who have helped us on the spiritual path. And that those prayers will elevate all of our family members. Prahlad Maharaj brought Hiranyakashipu back to the spiritual world just by his kind remembrance of him. So it is not family attachment to think that, what about my children? What about my mother? What about my father? It is material attachment when we are thinking about them in a separate way from Krishna. But when we are genuinely thinking of their spiritual welfare, that is not material attachment. When a mother or father is raising the child, I recently was asked this question, that I'm so attached to my children. A mother was asking this question. Is this an impediment to my spiritual life? It is an impediment if you're thinking they are your children. But if you are thinking these are the blessed children of Krishna, entrusted to me to help them on the path of bhakti, and your attachment is to raise them in such a way that they can experience the ultimate bliss of pure devotional service, that attachment is devotional service. That is a good attachment. We should be attached to elevating people, to doing welfare for people. To simply be detached is cold, hard-hearted impersonalism. We are detached from selfish, egoistic, material relationships, but we are attached to elevating people on the spiritual platform. That is real love. That should be cultivated. It should not be neglected. That is dharma. So Dhruva Maharaj, just by his loving prayers, his mother achieved the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada, in his great, great humility, prayed that if even one of my disciples becomes a pure devotee, then he could even bring me back to the spiritual world. Sometimes the guru is not even as elevated as the disciple. This Srila Prabhupada explains. However, if the guru teaches the disciple the path of bhakti so nicely that the disciple becomes perfect, the disciple can bring the guru back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada was praying like this, that his disciples become so pure they will bring him back to Godhead. This is the natural humility of a great Vaishnava. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if even one of my disciples becomes a perfect devotee of Krishna, that is the success of my mission. Then Dhruva Maharaj went back home, back to Godhead. On his way, he saw all the varieties of enjoyment of the heavenly worlds, the abodes of the demigods, but he was not the slightest bit interested, because he had achieved the bliss of bhakti. Madanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagati shakamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatar bhakti rahoyita kitvai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, I do not want wealth or beautiful woman or fame or followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth after birth. How Krishna arranges for his devotee to leave this world is wonderful. In fact, just recently, one of our god sisters left this world. Should I speak about it now or later? Because I think just now I should continue. Are all of you awake? Hare Krishna. Our god sister Kunti Devi Dasi. Srila Prabhupada initiated her in 1972 on Janamastami. When Prabhupada gave her the name Kunti Devi Dasi, everyone in the temple said Harivo very loudly. Such a wonderful name. So prophetic. She was a very simple, hard-working devotee. She used to chop wood and cook and carry water from the well and sew clothes for the deities. Just very simple service. Then later on, she went out on traveling Sankirtan. She was a person who was never noted for being great or famous. She was never a big spiritual leader. She was a mother of two children. And she was just a very simple, hard-working devotee. Never put in the limelight of being a very famous advanced soul. However, she surpassed practically everyone in the limelights. She did her service from 1970 till 1998. 28 years. Always in the background. She had many difficulties and problems in her life, but she was always eager to read about Krishna from Srila Prabhupada's books, always eager to chant, never complained, even though many very terrible injustices were done to her. She just went on with her devotional service. When she got news that she had cancer and she was going to soon die, she completely immersed herself in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. She told me that her deathbed, she couldn't move, she was paralyzed. She was in terrible pain. She told me her deathbed was the bank of the Ganges. And she had all Prabhupada's books before her. And she was day and night just chanting her japa and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. She said, "I feel like Maharaj Parikshit on the bank of the Ganges hearing from Shukadev Goswami. Of all my years as a devotee, I have never heard Srila Prabhupada speak to me so clearly." She had attended many of Prabhupada's lectures directly and personally. But she said, "At this time in my life, every word of Srila Prabhupada's books, I am hearing Prabhupada personally speaking to me so intimately. And each word of his books is awakening so many realizations in my heart. I feel that I am the most fortunate person in the whole world because I am hearing Srila Prabhupada speak to me so clearly. And if suffering this pain and laying on this bed is the price, it's a small price for the great treasure I am receiving." She was speaking sincerely from the very core of her heart. She was brought to New Vrindavan. She told me the first day she came to New Vrindavan, she was thinking, "This is the place that I want to die." So Krishna brought her back. And she was in a little room, and she was so effulgent with bhakti that devotees from all around were coming. At first they were coming to try to cheer her up because she was such a painful condition. But when they came in, each devotee was thinking that she's cheering me up. She's inspiring me. Like Bhishma, when Bhishma was on a bed of arrows, yet each and every one of the great sages and rishis that came, he would greet that person. Even though he couldn't get up, he would greet that person with great affection. Similarly, although she was laying there in such a paralyzed, helpless condition, each devotee that came in, she would so smilingly and lovingly welcome them, greet them, and try to serve them in any possible way she could serve them, even in her condition of life. She simply wanted to talk about Krishna, and she'd ask them to talk about Krishna. sannyasis, temple presidents were coming to receive her darshan because she was so effulgent with Krishna consciousness. Back in December, when I was at New Vrindavan, she was so absorbed in Srila Prabhupada's books. Whoever came in, she wanted to share whatever she was hearing from Srila Prabhupada. She said to me, "I want to show you something. It's so wonderful what Prabhupada's saying." It was from Prabhupada's conversation book. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "If everything is so perfect in the spiritual world, why would anyone want to come to this material world?" So, who knows how Prabhupada answered this question? He answered it in many ways and many times, but this particular way that he answered was so illuminating and blissful to hear. He said, just like if you're eating nice halva, sometimes you want to eat puffed rice. So you give up the halva to eat puffed rice. Similarly, in the spiritual world, everything is so sweet, but sometimes we want to enjoy the puffed rice type of material enjoyments. So Kunti was saying, we've come to this world because we want to eat puffed rice. And I said, have you ever eaten puffed rice? She said, in my whole life, I have never eaten puffed rice. I said, well, once you eat it, then you've done your work in this material world, then you can go back to Godhead. She said, well, I'm ready to go back to Godhead. Get me some puffed rice for I can finish my business in this material world. So I had to leave to come back to India. But on the way, I met one devotee in Pittsburgh, Radha Giridhari Prabhu and Brinda Priya Devi. And I said, could you do me a favor and bring Kunti Devi some puffed rice? So I assumed they would do it. Then I came back in the summer and I was at New Vrindavan for some weeks. And I asked Kunti Devi, I said, you're still here? Because actually, in December, they said she only had a couple weeks to live. The doctor said she will not survive more than a few more weeks. So when I left, I was thinking I would never see her again. But she told me that she very much wanted me close by to help her die. But I had to leave. So when I came back, I asked her one day, have you had your puffed rice yet? She said, no, I never had it. At that time, Radha Giridhari was walking by, and I said, Radha Giridhari Prabhu, did you bring her the puffed rice? He said, I forgot. So I immediately went and got her some puffed rice and told her, you take this puffed rice. Finish your material existence. So she ate the puffed rice a few days later. Anyways, Ratha Yatra was happening in New York City. And every year I go for the Ratha Yatra. It's the most wonderful Ratha Yatra in the Western world. It was Prabhupada's dream. When Srila Prabhupada first came to New York in 1965, he was living in the Bowery, which is ghetto, And he dreamed that the main street of Manhattan, Fifth Avenue, the most prestigious street in the entire planet Earth by material standards, that someday Lord Jagannath's parade would be coming through Fifth Avenue to the heart of New York City. So every year, this Rath Yatra has been taking place so beautifully. It is the regulation that the morning of Rath Yatra, for the last 5 years, I give Srimad Bhagavatam class by explaining the story of Rath Yatra. And more leaders of our society come for that parade than practically any other festival in the world. There's usually 15, 20 sannyasis and leaders of our society from all over America, from all over the world that attend the Rath Yatra. So the temple president, Ram Bhadra, called me and said, please, you must come for Rath Yatra. It's the sacred regulation of our temple that you must give the class every morning before the Rath Yatra. So I was making all plans to go, and then I became very sick. I had bronchitis. I had it for actually 3 weeks. And just before everyone was to leave for Rath Yatra, I couldn't even stand up. So the devotees, when they were about to drive to New York, they came to my room, and I said, I'm going to try to come, but I couldn't stand up. So with tears in my eyes, I just said, please give my obeisances to Lord Jagannath. I cannot come. So they went to New York. To go means a 3 to 4 day trip. So that very night, someone knocked upon my door and said, Kunti's leaving her body. Please, she wants you to come. So somehow we made it there, and Barsana Maharaj and I were chanting and reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita for many, many hours. For the next day or so, we were reading and chanting with so many other devotees. And she was so happy. This was just a few days after she ate her puffed rice. And with all devotees gathered around her chanting, she was trying, she was clapping her hands like this. And then she just laid there. And nobody knew if she was conscious or not. But just before she left her body, her daughter, Karnamrita, whispered in her ear. She said, Mother, I'm so grateful to you for giving me Krishna conscious. And nobody knew if she was in a coma, if she was, because she couldn't move. She was just laying there. She said, Mother, I just want to tell you how grateful I am that as my mother, you brought me to Krishna consciousness. As soon as she said that, tears started flowing from her eyes, Kunti's eyes. So we understood she was fully aware of everything going on. In the midst of a beautiful kirtan, she left this world. So I was thinking, how wonderful is Krishna? That what appeared to be such a curse, that I was so sick at such an important time, that I couldn't perform my service in New York City. But if it wasn't for that sickness, I would not be there for a higher service. So whatever Krishna does, we may not understand, but it is always out of his mercy. And nobody in the community knew much about how to perform the funerals or what to do. So by Krishna's grace, by Prabhupada's mercy, I knew some of the things. So I was there, and everything was done, her passing, the memorial service, everything. And then all the devotees came back from Rath Yatra. This was a very special experience for me, because to be able to perform this particular type of service was so special. And it took a sickness and in which I couldn't even move to engage me in that service. Because no one had any expectation at all that she would leave at that time. She was actually doing quite well. All of a sudden, so we should never see any situation by how it appears. We should understand that Krishna always has his divine plan. And what is his plan? To give us higher and more wonderful opportunities to serve him and to love him. Kunti Devi was just a very humble and simple devotee, housewife, mother, simple book distributor. But yet, she taught all of us a great lesson of how to live and how to die in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.